This is Express FM.
Supported by the University of Portsmouth.
Wait for the whistle to blow, and we are underway on Express FM.
For the fans, by the fans.
The atmosphere around Fratton at the moment is great, and that's spilled over into the training ground, and the boys are very, very positive.
Giving you a voice.
Everyone has sort of a smile on their face. It's going really well, and it's up to us to keep that, even in a tough moment.
This is the Football Hour.
And it's a good one.
With Jake Smith.
The run-in to the end of a season is nigh.
And Sadie could break away from Brown here. And Christian Sadie's one-on-one. And Christian Sadie scores! Portsmouth lead! Sadie's first league goal for Portsmouth! And the whistle is blown. And Fratton Park erupt. And how big a victory might that be on the path to possible promotion?
Just 10 games remain for the Blues to try and achieve the ultimate goal of finally reaching the Championship after 7 seasons in League One. Their 37th match of the league campaign is just around the corner as Blackpool await up at Bloomfield Road for a 3 o'clock kickoff tomorrow afternoon. We'll get a full preview of that one, including new signing Lee Evans on the show between now and 7. He's been speaking about settling in and the excitement of being able to represent Pompey.
Yeah, I just can't wait to put that blue Portsmouth shirt on. That's going to be a really special day.
Head coach John Massino will also be on the show this evening. In fact, make that manager of the month, John Massino.
I think it's a really nice feeling, obviously, to get the accolade. And I think it's just a really good reflection of everybody's hard work at the football club, the staff, all of the players, the success that they've had over the past sort of 6 weeks and obviously the month of February.
Tonight, we'll provide you with a full look ahead to this weekend's League One action. Reaction to the midweek results, exclusive interviews and also information on how you can be in with a chance of winning a pair of tickets to a UEFA Women's Champions League quarter-final tie. It's 6 o'clock on a Friday evening, which means it's time for one thing and one thing only. This is the Football Hour on Express FM.
The Football Hour.
Driven by Stagecoach across the South. Download the app now from the App Store or Google Play to view up-to-date timetable information and to prepay for your journey.
Express FM.
Yes, it is. The Football Hour here on Portsmouth's Express FM. Thank you very much for joining us here on this Friday night edition of the show. We're delighted to welcome you to yet another instalment of this fantastic show. Brought to you, of course, by Stagecoach across the South. We are in for a treat this evening. 10 games to go for Pompey to try and cement their place in the Championship next season. Of course, a long old way to go and some very exciting matches in prospect to come up before we can even think and dream about second division football in 2024-2025. It all starts, of course, with the run-in. 10 games to go. Blackpool away this weekend. We'll have a full preview of that match up at Bloomfield Road to come between now and 7 o'clock. We'll have Kev Stokes and James Wilson alongside us to talk about that one. And we'll have interviews with John Massino. We're going to hear from Lee Evans as well, signed for Pompey last week. Will he be included in the game tomorrow up on the Lancashire coast? Do let us know your thoughts throughout the course of the evening as well. 81400 is our text number. Start your messages there with the word Express. You can email pompey@expressfm.com. On X, it's at ExpressFM, what you need to include within your posts on there. Otherwise, it's facebook.com/PompeyLive or download and get in touch via the ExpressFM app. You can send us a message or even a voice note if you fancy it. We commence this evening's show, as we quite often do, though, with a throwback to last Saturday's action at Fratton Park, just to remind ourselves of how Pompey go into tomorrow's battle with the Seasiders. 9 unbeaten and still top of League One at John Massino's side. He made one change for that visit of the U's last weekend. Miles Pitt-Harris coming into the midfield with Owen Moxon dropping out of the side onto the bench. But Gaffer claimed that was just down purely to rotation. Andy Moon was joined alongside for the commentary at Fratton Park by Guy Whittingham.
Every kick.
Left foot, great delivery.
Every goal.
Curling it past the goalkeeper.
Every game is right here.
Oh, I don't believe it.
Pompey Live.
What a moment for Pompey.
On Express FM.
Bentona has blown his whistle and we are underway at Pratton Park. Pompey break forward. Here's Kamara looking to find Lang. Lang in the area. Chance for Lang. It's into the net. Portsmouth have scored. It's gone straight through Jamie Cummings. Lang puts Pompey ahead inside 90 seconds. Another one the goalkeeper has to save. He doesn't. The Pompey fans don't care. Portsmouth 1, Oxford 0. That's a nice ball infield to Pierre Harris, who then gives the ball away. And this is dangerous. Harris outside the box. Chance played it into the area. Chance for Oxford. Got to be a penalty kick. Foul by Raggett. Oxford United have got a penalty. Brannigan will hit this right-footed and score. sending Will Norris the wrong way, and Cameron Brannigan levels it up. Portsmouth 1, Oxford 1. Lack finds Lane up against Stevens if he wants to take him on. Pack will take it 40 yards out. Cries of shoot. Instead, Pack into Bishop. Bishop shot blocked. Still there for Bishop. Shot again. That's a brilliant save. The referee, Ben Toner, blowing his whistle to bring the first 45 minutes to a conclusion. It is 1-1. Murphy against Rafferty. Murphy's shot is blocked first by Rafferty. His second shot is blocked by the post. He nearly broke the post. And it's out for a throw. Couldn't have hit that much better. Pompey survived 1-1. And Sadie could break away from Brown here. And Christian Sadie's 1-1. And Christian Sadie scores! Portsmouth lead! Sadie's first league goal for Portsmouth. Didn't he take it well? Strength, power, a good advantage by the referee. It's Portsmouth 2, Oxford 1. Murphy against Rafferty coming into the penalty area. And the shot comes in. And Norris palms it away. And it's a good palm because it's away from Dale, who is lurking. Stood up to the far post. Big men are arriving. Moore's header. And Sadie hooks it away from under his own bar. Another corner. We have played 5 minutes of stoppage time. And the whistle is blown. And Bratton Park erupts. And how big a victory might that be on the path to possible promotion from League One?
All the unmissable action. Pompey Live on Express FM.
A reminder there of last week's 2-1 victory for the Blues at home to Oxford United. Callum Lang and Christian Sadie on the score sheet either side of a Cameron Brannigan equaliser from the penalty spot, keeping Pompey 7 points clear at the top of League One, with Bolton and Derby both winning in their games last weekend too. So let's fast forward 72 hours then to Tuesday, where there were 3 matches taking place in League One. We'll get to the most important one in a moment, but Charlton Athletic moved up to 14th and made it 6 unbeaten with a 3-1 win at Cheltenham Town. That's now 2 wins in the last 3 for Nathan Jones' side. Peterborough United came back from a goal down to thrash Northampton Town by 5-1 in the Nene Derby at London Road. 5 different goal scorers for the Posh, who stay 5th but now have 65 points on the board, 5 behind the automatic promotion spots with the game in hand. And the big one, as far as Pompey are concerned, in-form Barnsley played automatic promotion rivals Bolton Wanderers at Oakwell on Tuesday night. And really, the most ideal scenario in that, if you're a Blues fan, would have been a draw, to see both sides drop points. Well, that's exactly what happened. It wouldn't have been the end of the world if Barnsley had won, I don't think, as they still have a bit more catching up to do compared to Bolton. But the Tykes threw away a 2-goal lead with the game ending 2-2, thanks to a 98th-minute penalty. Josh Sheehan's spot kick was saved initially by Barnsley keeper Liam Roberts, but Randell Williams followed in the rebound to send both teams home with a point each. That means that Bolton overtake Derby in second, but are still 6 points behind Pompey, and, get this, they no longer have any games in hand. 0. Nada. So after 36 games each, Pompey lead with 76 points, Bolton a second on 70, Derby in third with 69, and Barnsley creeping up in fourth with 67 points. However, they and Peterborough on 65 have played 1 game fewer than those above them. So things are really hotting up at the top of League One with just 10 games to go. A reminder that Pompey have been in the top two ever since that 3-2 victory at Barnsley all the way back on Tuesday the 19th of September. Well, let's take a look at the fixtures taking place tomorrow then as we enter the run-in. All of the division are in action. Pompey, of course, away at Blackpool, a game we'll be previewing on the show tonight. Bolton take on Exeter City away from home. Derby are at Bristol Rovers. Barnsley host an in-form Lincoln City side unbeaten in 10, last defeated on New Year's Day. Peterborough are travelling to Burton Albion. Elsewhere, Cambridge United are at home to Northampton Town. It's Charlton Athletic versus Carlisle United. Oxford United host Cheltenham Town. Port Vale versus Shrewsbury Town. Reading take on Wickham Wanderers at the Select Car Leasing Stadium. Fleetwood go to Stevenage. And Wigan Athletic welcome Leighton Orient to the DW Stadium. We'll bring in our two guests ever so shortly, but it's competition time now. If you remember a couple of weeks ago, we ran a weekend-long competition to win tickets to watch Chelsea versus Arsenal in the final round of the WSL at the end of the season. Well, that went down really well, so we thought we'd give you another chance to go and watch some women's football. Later this month, on Wednesday the 27th of March, Chelsea women take on Ajax at Stamford Bridge for the second leg of their UEFA Champions League quarter-final with the Dutch Giants. And to make the occasion even more special, manager Emma Hayes has never won the Champions League with Chelsea, and this is set to be her final year in charge of the club. So, for a chance to win a pair of tickets to go and see Chelsea take on Ajax in the Women's Champions League at Stamford Bridge, all you have to do is answer the following question correctly. Who were the Pompey women's opponents in the National League Cup semi-final just under a fortnight ago? Was it A, Arsenal, B, Chelsea, or C, Newcastle United? The only way you can enter is by heading over to our website, expressfm.com/win, and filling in your details along with your answer on the page there. Please do not text, tweet, or email in with your answers, as those entries will not count. You will need to head to expressfm.com/win to enter, and the competition ends at the close of play on Sunday. Right, let's welcome in our guests for this evening's show now then. And I'm delighted to say, joining us on the Football Hour this evening to go through all of the midweek action and, of course, to preview tomorrow's big game at Bloomfield Road. First and foremost is our very own Kev Stokes from That 80s Show is back on the Football Hour. Kev, good evening.
Good evening, Jake. How are you, mate? All right?
I'm doing very, very well. Thank you very much. Looking forward to another exciting weekend of League One action. Kev, 10 games to go now until the end of the campaign. That is potentially only what separates Pompey and a position in the Championship next season. It could even be fewer games, of course, if they can get the job wrapped up a little bit sooner. Kev, we'll come on to talk about Blackpool a bit later on in more detail, but let's throw back a little bit to last weekend's game against Oxford United, and what a cracking match that was at Fratton Park.
Yeah, seems a long time ago now. I mean, the week's dragged, actually, waiting for tomorrow's game. But, it was brilliant. The atmosphere was fantastic, wasn't it? Another record crowd. And, we got away with one, really, if we're being honest.
Yeah.
I think they deserved probably a point. But, when we're winning games, not playing great, then that's the sign of a team that's going to be up there. I'm sure of it.
Is indeed.
More sure of it, week by week.
Absolutely, yeah. It's getting to the really scary part of the season now. We've been believing, or most of us have been, I think, believing a little bit all season that this could be the year. Now we're getting down to the final 10 games of the season. It becomes a little bit serious. Who was alongside us for all of the action last Saturday at PO4 was Mr. James Wilson, former assistant of the Pompey Women, new member of the Pompey Live team. James, a very good evening to yourself. Thank you very much for calling in tonight.
Evening, Jake. Pleasure as always.
And we sat together for the game at Fratton Park on Saturday. I apologise for... I probably gave you a couple of bruises on the arm when Pompey took the lead through Christian Sadie.
It was tense.
Just wait until the last few games of the season, mate. It's going to get even worse. a big, big win against the U's. A very typically difficult opposition as well at Oxford United. Reading through your sort of match review, highlighting the difficulty of the game, but also the fact that yet again, John Mousinho's side, they just found a way to win. If you've got any intentions of getting up from any division, that's all you got to do, right?
Yeah, and we've seen time and time again throughout this season, this team, this squad of players, they do find a way. You've seen everyone say it throughout the course of the year as well, that there's something different about this group. They show that their mentality is so strong when they're under the cosh. They find ways to see out difficult periods. And games like Saturday, going back to that, it's when you are not at your best and you find a way to get over the line against a fellow top six rival, it's a massive 3 points.
It is a massive 3 points indeed. Kev, important, of course, to keep complacent over the next 10 games or so. Pompey just got to keep doing what they've been doing time and time again, week in, week out, throughout the remainder of this season. They've been in the top two of this division since all the way back in September. And Kev, what really scares me, I guess, as a Pompey fan, and because it does hit very close to home, was what happened to Doncaster Rovers in 2017. That League Two title winning for Pompey, of course. Doncaster were on 85 points with four games remaining in League Two. They were top of the table. They were already promoted because, of course, Pompey, Plymouth and Doncaster were promoted pretty early on. It was just coming down to who would win the League Two title, which, of course, Pompey did on the final day of the season. But Doncaster, yeah, four games to go, 85 points on the board. And that's how they finished it. They lost their last four games of the season and finished third. It didn't ultimately mean too much because, of course, three teams go up from League Two. But it can also highlight how teams can drop off right when it really, really needs not to happen. Doncaster did it back in 2017. Sheffield Wednesday did it last season, right, Kev? They did it right at the end of the season.
Yeah.
They managed to go up through the playoffs fortuitously. But that is something that John Mourinho's side really, I guess, need to instill within their mentality, that the job isn't done yet. They've just got to keep doing what they're doing.
Absolutely, yeah. I remember that Sheffield Wednesday game when they came down and they were singing, we're top of the league, we're going up and all this malarkey. And it got a bit tight for them, didn't it? And but I think that John Mourinho will not let them get complacent at all. I think, you know, throughout the week on the training ground, I'm sure he's reminded them of the history of those teams that have fallen foul to that. And we are Pompey at the end of the day, and we, you know, we've been guilty of things like that, maybe. But I think this is a different, you know, James just said it there, we're a different group of players. It's a different mentality. And it's, I just think they've got enough to get over the line. They've got a good squad, and we've got new players coming in. We've got this, you know, Lee Evans. We've got Sadie making a return last week. And, you know, there's fighting for places. So it's not just the same 11 going out there to do the same thing as they did in the last game. There's competition all round. It's great.
And that kind of competition is going to be integral. That, you know, strength and depth that John Mourinho's got at his disposal as well, Kevin. And just moving on to Lee Evans as well, James, we're actually going to talk about him and hear from him in the next part of this evening's show. Somebody who wasn't included in last Saturday's match day against Oxford United. John Mourinho saying in his post-match interview, but he's not played since September. The rotation to bring Miles Pitt-Harris in, Owen Moxon dropping to the bench, also playing a bit of a part in that as well. I suspect maybe Lee Evans wasn't quite registered in time on that Friday in time for the Oxford game. I don't know. We haven't had that confirmed, and I don't think we will. Nonetheless, what John Mourinho will have this weekend, if Lee Evans is fit and he's ready to go, is options in midfield. And, you know, with recent injuries to Joe Morrell and Tom Lowry, I'm sure that's something he's relishing with.
Yeah, I mean, we don't know. We'd assume that he hasn't had a full training week yet. So leading up to this weekend's game, they'll have a full week to assess him and see where his fitness is, as opposed to maybe 1 or 2 days. So obviously, the signing was announced on the Friday, so we don't know. Did he train just for that morning? We haven't really heard anything official in that sense. But it's an area of the pitch we all knew we had to strengthen. Obviously, Miles Pitt-Harris came in at the weekend. It didn't quite click as we'd have hoped, perhaps. We saw glimpses of what he can do in that position, but also, as Mourinho said in his interview, some shortcomings that he may have in that role. But he's still young, he's still learning, so you kind of expect that. But yeah, it's a great option to have. We all know it's an area we need to strengthen, and the club again have acted upon that.
They have indeed. A difficult test coming up this weekend then, Kev. Blackpool away. They are a side currently in League One, of course, fighting for a playoff position, just outside of the playoffs, actually, as things stand. They've got a decent home record as well this campaign. We are going to talk a bit about them more in detail later on in this evening's show. It's a long old trip, and I'm sure many Pompey fans, myself included, will be going up for the joys of Blackpool away. It's a great weekend. What have Pompey got to do in this game, Kev, that maybe they didn't quite do on Saturday last week against Oxford United? Because although they got the win over the line, it wasn't the most complete performance, was it?
No, it wasn't. No, there was areas of the game that, you know, we let them dominate. And, well, I think when we go away, I think we just need to, you know, get control of the game. We need to not replicate what they did to us at home, but maybe we do that to them.
That'd be nice, wouldn't it?
At their place, you know, because that was a shocking day, wasn't it, back in November?
Yeah.
It seems that was even longer ago than last Saturday. But, no, I think if we play our normal game, and get control of the football and create some chances and take our chances. That's what we're going to do. Take our chances that we are creating. A point. Let's go for a point. If we get the 3 points, even better.
Absolutely. Right, Kev, thank you very much. James as well, do hold tight. We're going to come back with both of those guys in just a few moments' time. But it is now time for a very, very quick break here on The Football Hour. We're going to hear from a man we've teased up quite a few times in the first part of this evening's show, Lee Evans, the midfielder signed for Pompey last Friday as a free agent. Recently been with Ipswich Town, released at the start of February. He was allowed to go and find a new club after what's been a very difficult campaign for him off the pitch, suffering with a knee injury. He's had surgery, he's back, he's ready and raring to go, and he gives John Mourinho options in midfield. We're going to hear from Lee Evans after a break and who exactly tried to convince him to sign for Pompey.
I spoke to, obviously, Connor Chaplin, fan favourite here, let him know about the interest. He was more excited than me, I think. He was telling me how lucky I am to be coming down here and playing.
So Connor Chaplin, a big influence. We'll also find out which other players helped Lee Evans sign for Pompey when The Football Hour returns after a short break.
For the fans, by the fans. The Football Hour with Jake Smith on Express FM.
The new Stagecoach Flexi 5. A bus ticket that works when you do. For those who travel often, but not every day. These new flexible bus tickets are available as Flexi 5. Bundles of 5-day riders for the price of 4. And Flexi 10. Bundles of 10-day riders for the price of 7. Flexi tickets are now available to download via the Stagecoach Bus app. Download Flexi 5 or Flexi 10 from Apple App Store or Google Play today. For more information, visit stagecoachbus.com.
For the fans, by the fans. The Football Hour with Jake Smith on Express FM.
Yeah, welcome back to the Football Hour here on Portsmouth's Express FM. Thank you very much for joining us here on this Friday night. I hope you're all well. Don't forget, Blues fans tuning in from back home, you can get in touch and have your say on the Football Hour this evening. All the usual methods to get in touch, 81400 on the text. Start your messages there with the word Express. You can email Pompey at expressfm.com. Use at expressfm over on X. Visit facebook.com/PompeyLive. Or the very, very best way to get in touch is by downloading and reaching us through the ExpressFM app. From there, you can send us a written message or even a voice note. How incredible is that? You can actually get involved with your voices here on the Football Hour. Get in touch with us between now and 7 o'clock, or indeed, of course, on any edition of the show coming between now and the end of the season. It's set to be an exciting running. Right, before the break, myself, Kev and James, we spoke a little bit about last Saturday's 2-1 victory for Pompey over Oxford United, the repercussions, of course, of the midweek results in League One. But another big weekend awaits the Blues and the remainder of the division over the next coming few days. Last weekend, we saw Miles Pitt-Harris introduced to the starting 11, Owen Moxon dropping to the bench, Lee Evans, the new signing from Ipswich Town. He was a free agent for about a month or so, signed for Pompey last week. He wasn't included in the matchday 18 for the visit of Oxford United, but he could potentially be available for tomorrow's trip to Bloomfield Road. He was speaking to Max Swatton shortly after putting pen to paper on a deal to sign for the Blues until the end of the season.
Lee, welcome to Pompey. How does it feel to have signed for the club?
Yeah, amazing. Obviously, a real honour, real privilege to sign for such a big football club. And yeah, as soon as I knew the interest was there, I was desperate to get down here and be a part of hopefully something special.
How long has it been in the pipeline and how good does it feel to sort of get it over the line now?
It's been probably the last couple of weeks. I'd say a couple of weeks. We've been talking back and forth. Came down start of the week, had a look around, did my medical. So yeah, it's just been over the last couple of weeks, I'd say. And like I said, as soon as I heard the Portsmouth were interested, I had other interest, but this was the club I wanted to join.
What have your chats with John and Rich been like in that period? How did they really sort of sell the club to you?
They didn't need to really, to be honest. Obviously, as soon as I heard that the first bit of interest, I was looking on or watching the games that have gone past. Yeah, they didn't need to sell it too much. Obviously, I've seen clips of the way they're playing, the way the manager's obviously setting his team up, trying to play. And yeah, I think it's a team that'll suit me, and I'm just here to try and do what I can and from there to the end of the season.
Who have you spoken to about coming to Portsmouth? I know there are some former Pompey players that you know quite well.
Yeah, no, there is. I spoke to, obviously, Connor Chaplin, fan favourite here. Let him know about the interest. He was more excited than me, I think. He was telling me how lucky I am to be coming down here and playing. So I spoke to him, I spoke to Michael Jacobs, George Hurst. There's been quite a few links that I've spoke to. And obviously spoke to Lange as well, got into him a little bit. A few chats who all had really positive comments to say about the club.
You said about Lange there, there are a couple of other lads that you know quite well, but how nice is it to sort of come into a new place but have those sort of familiar faces there already?
Yeah, no, it helps. It obviously helps. And we're both right on the edge of the changing room, I think. We're both on the seats next to each other, so we're squeezing in there just. But yeah, no, I know Lange, obviously, from Wigan. I know what he can do. I know what he brings to the team, his energy, his quality. But the rest of the team, obviously, I've played against a lot of them on a number of occasions, played against, most of the players, so I know. And then, obviously, I've seen the performances and the results this season, seen how well they're doing.
How was your first session out there?
Yeah, no, it was good. I obviously haven't had too many sessions. I've just been obviously finishing my rehab at Ipswich. So I want to thank them obviously for all the work they did for me. So finished my rehab there, did some training with their under 21s. And yeah, that was the first one where the intensity was a bit bigger, a bit sharper. Really enjoyed it though. Enjoyed being part of obviously what is a, a really good group.
You've obviously had the session, you've also met everyone as well. So how do you think you're going to find settling in with the group?
Yeah, no, I think all I've heard is positive things about the group, so I think it'll be quite easy, to be honest. Yeah, I'm here to get my head down, to work as hard as I can, and yeah, be ready to contribute when I can and contribute as much as I can from now until the end of the season. So I think it'll be quite seamless.
In terms of you personally, what do you think you can add to the group in terms of your qualities?
I just think, obviously, a bit of experience, been there, done that in this league, trying to get, obviously, where we want to get is to get promoted out of the league. So yeah, obviously I was fortunate enough to do that last season with Ipswich, and I've done it before with other clubs. And yeah, obviously passing on any insight to other players, and then when I get the chance to be on the pitch is me just giving everything for the shirt. Yeah, working as hard as I can and then trying to show that bit of quality on the ball when I can.
As you said, you join after leaving Ipswich in January. How would you assess your time there overall, including a promotion-winning season last year?
Yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed it. Obviously, it came with his injury troubles, unfortunately, especially when the new manager came in. It looked like I started the promotion season so well. Was looking forward to probably one of my best seasons to date, and cruelly picked up the injury that I did, and then probably should have had the surgery then to fix it, but we didn't. We held back a little bit on that. And then, yeah, this season, playing the Carabao Cup games, doing really well, going well in that competition, first league start, and the same injury occurred. So it came with lots of highs, lots of lows. But yeah, thankful for my time there, and especially thankful now that I've had that surgery and I've got basically a new knee now, which I'm looking forward to using for the rest of my career, because I feel like I'm at such a good age now to try and hit my prime and have the best years ahead of me.
Now, you've been promoted from League One 3 times. You were part of that Wolves team that broke the record points tally. You got promoted with Wigan in 17-18 and obviously Ipswich last season. What are your best memories from those three seasons?
I think the Wolves season, yeah, I was so young, probably didn't take it all in at the time. I was just going out there enjoying my football and not really thinking too much about it, to be honest. So the Wolves one, I was fortunate. The team I got to play in, the front boys especially. You see, obviously, the likes of Sacco went and played in the Premier League after it. Player I played alongside, Kevin McDonald, went and played in the Premier League. They were top quality players who probably shouldn't have been in that league when they was. So, yeah, the Wolves one was obviously really special, being so young. The Wigan, yeah, I was there until the first half of the season, so I was on loan from Wolves to Wigan and just, yeah, enjoyed it, enjoyed my football again, linked up with the manager there, played good football and had, again, a really good team to be a part of. And then the Ipswich one, yeah, I think the debate at the minute has been who was the better team out of the Wolves and the Ipswich team. I'll let the fans decide that one, but they were two obviously fantastic teams which I've been lucky enough to be a part of.
Is there anything you can sort of pinpoint during those campaigns that was the reason why you were able to secure promotion?
I think it's hard. I think it's hard just to be so specific with one thing. I think definitely the one that sticks to mind now is the one I've just been a part of. The Ipswich one was just what we did every day. We just took every Saturday as it comes. We didn't look past one game. We just knocked the next game off and then just moved on to the next one, did it like that, and just trained ridiculously hard. Trained that hard that you thought the games were probably easier than the training at the end. So, yeah, lots of hard work, I think, went into that.
What does it take in terms of squad effort on and off the pitch?
It just takes everyone being all in, I think. I think there's no other way to describe it. You have to be 100% dedicated, every player in the squad, even if you're not playing the minutes you want to play, you're not playing week in, week out. Everyone's time normally comes in a season. So, yes, everyone being dedicated, everyone working hard and everyone pushing together for that one common goal.
You've played at Fratton Park many times. What are some of your memories there?
Yeah, no, I've enjoyed playing at Fratton Park. Yeah, really enjoyed it. Obviously, it's a fantastic stadium. It's one of the biggest, obviously, in the league. It's the biggest one, probably the biggest club this year now in the league. So it was always, when I used to come here, it was a game I looked forward to. And yeah, I managed to score one for Wigan and then had a couple of good nights here as well with Ipswich. So yeah, I just can't wait to put that blue Portsmouth shirt on. That's going to be a really special day.
I was going to say, how much are you looking forward to playing there as a Pompey player, and how different do you think it will be when the Pompey fans and the Fratton End are on your side?
Yeah, it's going to be special, definitely. I've been I've been fortunate in my career to play for some really big clubs, and Portsmouth's right up there. It's a fantastic football club, and one day, yeah, I'll try and represent as well as I can by giving 110%. And yeah, it's going to be a special day for me and my family.
Just finally, what are your aims, both personally and with the team, between now and the end of the season?
I think personally is just getting myself now 100% ready as fast as I can and just contributing as much as I can. Obviously the team are doing really well. They're playing good football. They're sitting top of the league for a reason. So I'll be here for when obviously the manager needs me and wants to play me. So yeah, that's my aim, is to play as many minutes as possible from now to the end of the season. And yeah, as a collective, I think we shouldn't be scared of saying it. We should all be looking now to get promoted. It's been a long time this massive football club's been here. So yeah, let's really go for it and try and get promoted.
Yeah, midfielder Lee Evans there speaking to Max Swatton last week after putting pen to paper on a contract until the end of the season in Royal Pompey Blue. Lee Evans then, the player James, of course, we didn't see last weekend against Oxford United. We highlighted that before the break, and who did play, Miles Pitt-Harris, Owen Moxon coming off the bench. Should he be, of course, available and fit? We're going to hear from John Massino in the next part of the show about that. But in your eyes, if he's available for contention for tomorrow's game against Blackpool, would you like to see him included? If so, would that be from the off, or would that maybe be a cameo appearance from the bench?
I think I'd like to see him involved in the match day squad from the bench. It's probably too soon to be asking him to come in from a starting position. Obviously, as well, let's not forget that also Owen Moxon was so unfortunate to miss out the starting 11 at the weekend. So he's probably feeling a bit hard done by, felt like the Charlton game was his best performance in a Pompey shirt. So I am expecting Owen Moxon to come back in for the game tomorrow. But I am excited to see what Evans is going to bring to the table. He's got promotion pedigree, and what a capture for a free. Someone who's got three promotions under their belt from this division already. So it's an exciting prospect.
An exciting prospect indeed. And James has hit the nail on the head there, hasn't he, Kev? Lee Evans, he comes with three League One promotions on his CV, one of which, okay, he's recalled back halfway through the campaign when he was at Wigan, recalled by Wolverhampton Wanderers. But he'll be looking to come down to Fratton Park, add a fourth promotion from this division to his CV, and he's kind of experienced kind of head and a real integral player actually for Ipswich last season and their promotion to the Championship. And that's exactly the kind of option that it would be a luxury for John Massino to have on the bench, because quite frankly, I'm sure he's probably been brought in on a contract until the end of the season. Likelihood, I might be wrong, but a likelihood back up to Marlon Pack and Owen Moxon.
Yeah, I was reading about him this week actually, and saw a few clips on YouTube. He's a very good player with a good pedigree, and like you say, he's got that experience of getting promoted, and it's a brilliant addition to the squad. And Massino has got that nice problem. You know, I've got too many players for this position, but they all seem to be fit. Let's hope this Lee Evans is fit, and he can change it around as he wishes. So it's a great move.
What are your thoughts, James, on the decision that's been made, of course, to give Lee Evans only a contract until the end of the season? Is it a smart move, in your opinion?
Yeah, I think it kind of works for all parties. So if you're someone like Lee Evans, you've been without the club for that short period of time, you want to play your way to getting that contract. And the way to do that is performing on the pitch. There's no obligation then on Pompey to have someone who's underwhelmed, which I don't expect him to, by the way, it's just a possibility, on the books longer than they need to. So it's a sort of situation that just works for everyone. Lee Evans is back on the pitch, potentially with a promotion-winning club, and he'll want to be earning a Championship contract come the summer.
Now, since those questions were posed to Kev and James there, we have since learnt from Lee Evans himself that he is targeting his Pompey debut next week. So that means we're not likely to see him feature in tomorrow's game up in Blackpool, which is where the Blues will be backed by another sold-out away end. John Massino's Table Toppers will be backed by over 2,000 Pompey fans at Bloomfield Road, where in the last four league visits, Portsmouth have won two, drawn one and lost one. Pompey haven't beaten Blackpool, however, since a 2-1 win on the Lancashire coast back on the 11th of August 2018, a Ronan Curtis brace helping the Blues to victory there. Since then, five meetings have produced four Blackpool wins and one stalemate. We're going to be hearing more on the Tangerines in the third and final part of the show, but a few stats and notes to be aware of heading into tomorrow's game. They have won three of their last four games and are bidding to make a late push back into the playoff places, currently just 4 points behind sixth place Stevenage. Neil Critchley's side also have the third best home record in League One this season, having scooped up 11 wins from 18 games at Bloomfield Road, drawing four and losing three. They recently thrashed automatic hopefuls Bolton 4-1 on home soil as well. Pompey, though, boast the best home and the best away record so far, winning 10 of their 18 away fixtures in League One since the start of the campaign, losing two and being held to six draws. We'll get an even closer look at Pompey's opponents for this weekend in Part 3. Now, we mentioned a moment ago that the Blues will be backed by more than 2,000 fans at Blackpool tomorrow. We're also taking just shy of 4,000 to Peterborough next Saturday too. The team are going to need you from minute 1 to 90 in every game in this running now, Pompey fans, and I trust that you'll help do your part of the stands too. But while we're on the subject of support, I'd like to just take a few moments to reflect on what was an incredible final few minutes at Fratton Park last weekend, where over 20,000 inside PO4, though some, of course, of an Oxford persuasion, were in fine voice to help carry the team over the line and see out the 2-1 win. The videos of the wall of noise have since gone a little bit viral, and even opposition supporters on social media singing Pompey's praises. One Peterborough fan even saying that he's not looking forward to next week's game because of the expected noise the Blues will bring. Now, if you weren't at the game last weekend, or if you haven't heard the terrific backing during the closing stages of last week's win over the Ewes, I would suggest you take a listen now. truly brilliant. Now, I know Pompey's away support is spectacular, but I'm not sure 2,000 at Bloomfield Road will quite be able to match around 19,000 home fans at Fratton Park last weekend. However, it is a challenge I'm willing to hear accepted. Nonetheless, we look forward to another noisy away following tomorrow and hope those on the pitch can use it to get the Blues to another win. Right, a reminder now of our competition we're running over the course of this weekend here on Express FM. You can win yourselves a pair of tickets to see Chelsea versus Ajax in the quarterfinals of the UEFA Women's Champions League at Stamford Bridge on March the 27th. All you have to do is answer this question correctly. Who were the opponents for the Pompey women in last month's National League Cup semi-final? Was it A, Arsenal, B, Chelsea, or C, Newcastle United? Enter via our website expressfm.com/win. Full terms and conditions can be found there, and entries close on Sunday at 1:01. That question again, who were the opponents for the Pompey women in last month's National League Cup semi-final? Was it A, Arsenal, B, Chelsea, or C, Newcastle United? Please do not enter via text, email, or through social media, as they will not count. The only way to stand a chance of winning is by heading to expressfm.com/win. Right, time for a quick break now, but when we come back, we'll gather the final thoughts of Kev and James, as well as dive deeper into Pompey's opponents for tomorrow's game, Blackpool. And we'll also catch up with head coach John Messino.
We've just had a normal week, really. We were back in on Monday. We did the post-match from Oxford, took all of the positives, took all of the areas that we needed to improve, had a pretty light day, and then we've had two really good working days, Tuesday, Wednesday, which obviously the free week affords us, not having a midweek game.
That's all to come in just a few moments' time when we reach the conclusion of tonight's Football Hour. Don't go anywhere.
For the fans, by the fans, the Football Hour with Jake Smith on Express FM.
The world is your oyster. With many bus routes offering services late into the evening, from 7 p.m. every day, you can take advantage of a night rider ticket, taking you from A to B and everywhere in between. Simply purchase your night rider ticket on the bus or using the Stagecoach app to get unlimited travel anywhere on the whole of the Stagecoach South. So whether you're out with your mates, catching the latest blockbuster, on a late shift, or just enjoying late night bus rides, visit stagecoachbus.com for timetable and ticket information.
For the fans, by the fans, the Football Hour with Jake Smith on Express FM.
Good evening and welcome back for the final time tonight to the Football Hour here on Portsmouth's Express FM. You join myself, Jake Smith, alongside Kev Stokes and James Wilson to preview another mammoth weekend in League One. Pompey, of course, travel to Blackpool tomorrow afternoon. Elsewhere, Barnsley host Lincoln City. It's Bristol Rovers taking on Derby County. Burton Albion at home to Peterborough United. Cambridge United versus Northampton Town at the Abbey under the new management of Gary Monk. Charlton Athletic at home to Carlisle United. Bolton Wanderers travel to Exeter City. Elsewhere, it's Oxford United versus Cheltenham Town. Port Vale versus Shrewsbury. Reading hosting Wickham Wanderers. Stevenage at home to Fleetwood Town. And Wigan Athletic at home to Leighton Orient at the DW Stadium. Full complement of fixtures across the third division this weekend, but of course our focus is on Bloomfield Road. The Tangerines, the Seasiders, whatever you want to call them, we've got more on them now. The Blues got back to winning ways last weekend with a nervy 2-1 victory over Oxford United at Fratton Park to strengthen their position at the top of the league. Next up, a trip to Lancashire to take on the Tangerines.
This week's opposition.
Just 10 games remain for the Blues this season as the race for automatic promotion to the Championship begins to heat up. This weekend we go from one seaside to another. Pompey travel to Blackpool for match day number 37 in League One.
Manager.
The Tangerines are managed by former Liverpool Academy and Queen's Park Rangers head coach Neil Critchley. Critchley has managed Blackpool once before prior to his current stint. Appointed in March 2020, he spent just over 2 years with the club before accepting the role of assistant head coach to Steven Gerrard at Aston Villa in 2022. During his first full season in charge of Blackpool, Critchley guided the side to a third place finish in League One and promotion to the Championship via the playoffs. The 45-year-old has collected 24 wins from 49 games since taking back over in May of last year, accruing a win percentage of 48.98%. On two occasions, the now Blackpool gaffer has even led Premier League Liverpool from the dugout, though not one of those games were a top-flight fixture. Fixture congestion in December 2019 saw Liverpool draw Aston Villa away in the Carabao Cup, with the game taking place one day before their Club World Cup clash with Mexican outfit Monterrey, Jurgen Klopp went to the Club World Cup match whilst Critchley led a team of youngsters to a 5-0 defeat at Villa Park. The other game was an FA Cup fourth round replay victory over Shrewsbury Town at Anfield, where again a youthful side was fielded while the first team squad was scheduled to be on a mid-season break.
One to watch.
Our one to watch this weekend is 21-year-old Karamoko Dembele. Dembele plays on the wing and has so far this season played over 1,800 league minutes, registering 6 goals and 11 assists. Only Peterborough's Nathaniel Mendes-Laing has registered more setups with 14. He has also managed a goal and an assist from 4 FA Cup appearances this season too, though failed to offer any goal contributions across 4 outings in the EFL Trophy. The former Celtic starlet wears the number 11 shirt for Blackpool, where he is on loan at from French top flight outfit Brest.
Top scorer.
Blackpool's top goal scorer in the league at this stage of the season is 34-year-old Jordan Rhodes. The striker is currently on loan at Bloomfield Road from Championship strugglers Huddersfield Town and has so far bagged 15 goals in the league this campaign, as well as 3 assists. Rhodes returned to action as a second half substitute last Saturday's trip to Shrewsbury after a spell of 8 games of not being included in the Blackpool squad. The Oldham-born former Blackburn Rovers and Sheffield Wednesday forward wears the number 16 shirt for the Tangerines, and in his first 8 league games for the club this season, he managed to claim 7 goals. Recently, however, Rhodes has struggled to find the back of the net and has also had game time limited. He has not scored since a 3-1 home win over Bristol Rovers on the 23rd of December.
Current form.
The Seasiders are just outside of the playoff positions in 8th place with 56 points, 4 points behind Stevenage in 6th with 10 games of their own remaining. Neil Critchley's side have picked up a bit of form lately, winning 3 of their last 4 league matches, including a 4-1 thrashing of automatic promotion hopefuls Bolton Wanderers at Bloomfield Road on the 24th of Feb. Among those recent league fixtures, Blackpool were dumped out of the EFL Trophy at the semi-final stage by Peterborough United, who were victorious by 3-0 on the Lancashire coast to set up a meeting with Wickham Wanderers in the showpiece final at Wembley in April. Now, if you cast your minds back to November, the Blues were inflicted their first league defeat of the season by this weekend's opponents, who thumped Pompey 4-0 at Fratton Park, thanks to goals from Owen Dale, Jake Beasley, CJ Hamilton and Albie Morgan. Can the Blues exact some revenge on the Tangerines and register a 10th straight game without defeat to move one step closer to promotion? All of the unmissable action on Pompey Live. Yeah, closer look there into the Seasiders of Blackpool. Tomorrow's opponents at Bloomfield Road as Pompey go from coast to coast, the south coast, to the far coast up in Lancashire. Blackpool, the opponents at Bloomfield Road. We're just outside of the playoff positions as things stand, fighting for a place in the top 6 and potentially promotion of their own to the Championship next season. It is the start of Pompey's running then. 10 games to go between now and the end of the campaign. Pompey sitting pretty at the top of League One. And James Wilson, a big game happening this weekend at Bloomfield Road. Blackpool, the opponents, another tough test for Pompey, one of which John Massino will have to get through, not just sort of physically, tactically, but mentally as well.
Yeah, it's going to be a challenge. Obviously, we know what happened at Fratton Park earlier this season. They were clinical that day. They really did take their chance as well. Coming into this one, we know going there is a difficult place. You're going to have to look at Bolton's result there a couple of weeks ago, getting turned over 4-1. They're a bit inconsistent, and that's why they find themselves where they are, but they're a very dangerous team. They've got some good players. You look at the likes of Dembele in midfield. He's really lively, and they create a lot of chances. So hopefully, you know, we could perform to our maximum, catch them on a bit of an off day as well. But if you ask me now, I'd probably take a draw if it was offered to me.
Taking a draw if it's offered to you. Yeah, I mean, Kev, 10 games to go. Blackpool, of course, tomorrow starting that run-in for Pompey. We've still got to go to Peterborough, Bolton as well. Very, very tough games coming up. Barnsley at home. That is, you know, 4 teams in the current top 8 that Pompey have to face between now and the end of the season. Of course, Derby, Bolton and Barnsley.
Derby as well, yeah.
Direct, you know, rivals in this automatic promotion push. It's going to be a difficult run. It certainly is on paper. Do you think maybe John Bassino's side, you know, they won't look at the table. They say they won't look at the table and they will take every game as it comes, of course. But you look back at Pompey's record this season against these kind of sides. Bolton at home, a victory there. Derby away, a draw there. Peterborough at home, of course, victorious back towards the start of the campaign. Blackpool, yeah, the less said, the better about that one. But against these, you know, top sides in this division, the ones that play this open and expansive football, ones that, you know, really come at you because they've got, you know, points to really fight for and play for. Do you think that can actually benefit Pompey because they can sort of open up the gaps in the defence and exploit them?
Well, I like to think so. I like to think if a team's come to play football, I think we could, you know, we can match anyone playing football. And like you say, if they're pressing for a goal, then there's gaps appear on the pitch. You know, with a full house at Fratton Park, they bring a good crowd down. The atmosphere, I think, well, it helped get us over the line last week. And, you know, the players do know the situation. They must do. They must, when they're down the training ground or bumping into fans, they know that we're excited for them. And, you know, I think that's showing on the pitch. I think they're doing their job.
Yeah,
and they'll continue to do so.
Indeed.
We will fall over on a couple of games, but I think we'll get the required points.
Yeah, 10 games to go then, James. Pompey, top of League One, 76 points on the board. Currently 9 unbeaten. A victory last Saturday, of course, following the goalless draw at Charlton. 76 points on the board, 30 points up for grabs. John Massino's side could, of course, still achieve 106 points this season. Realistically, James, looking at the competitiveness of, you know, the automatic promotion hunt below Derby County, Bolton, Barnsley as well, maybe Peterborough could climb their way back up. They're on a 2-game winning streak now. Might be a smaller points tally, the barrier that you'll need to get automatic promotion this season, James. In your opinion, how many points do you think Pompey need to get to in order not to worry about dropping out of that top two?
In my opinion, I think you're looking to get to the 90 threshold, not as a finishing target, but the quicker you can get to 90, the easier it will feel as such. I do think 92 probably does automatics, and you're probably looking for maybe 94, 95 to win the division. But I think the target for the team, for the squad, will be get to the 90-point mark, and I don't know when we're going to do that, but I do think we're going to achieve that before the end of the season. We won't be going into the last day of the season. I think we'll have it wrapped up before then. I'm putting it out there. That's it now. I can't take it back. It's out there. I think before the final game of the season, we'll have been promoted.
Give me goosebumps, James. Give me goosebumps. 76 points on the board.
How Saturday made me feel. It's happening. It's happening.
That's only 14 points away. That is, well, 5 wins, isn't it? That's 15 points.
There's going to be plenty of ups and downs in the next 10 games. But I do think we do it this year.
An away game tomorrow, Kev, Blackpool, of course. But 5 of those 10 games, so half of the games we've got remaining, are at home, half are away. We saw that incredible atmosphere at Fratton Park. We heard it at Fratton Park last Saturday in the final few minutes against Oxford United. How crucial a role has these, you know, Blues fans, home and away, got to play now to try and lift the team over the line?
Yeah, it's crucial. It is crucial. And we've always been that 12th man, but really we have to step our game up even more. I mean, that's last week at Oxford gave you goosebumps. So I think continue that, you know, against the games against, we got Burton, and we the next
Burton away on Tuesday night, yep.
Yeah, and then the Barnsley game and Derby, you know, bring them all down here and put them in front of us. What I was going to say before about those teams that come and play football, it's a lot easier, I think, having, you know, played a bit of football. Teams that sit back, we're not good with that. You know, it's not our preferred way. So I think if we can play football against a team that wants to play football, we're in it. We're in with a win.
Okay, then. Let's hear from the Blues head coach now, John Massino. He's been speaking to George Wedlake in the build-up to tomorrow's game at Bloomfield Road, with George first asking how things have been this week off the back of an important win over Oxford last Saturday.
Yeah, they've been good. We've just been had a normal week, really. We were back in on Monday. We did the post-match from Oxford, took all of the positives, took all of the areas that we needed to improve. Had a pretty light day, and then we've had two really good working days, Tuesday, Wednesday, which obviously the 3-week affords us, not having a midweek game. So overall, really good, really positive, just building into the next 10 games.
Everybody on the final whistle was visibly buzzing, the players, the staff. How difficult is it when you come in on a Monday, sort of, you know, bringing everyone back down to earth and saying, like, right, this is what we need to achieve, and keeping everybody focused?
We don't find it difficult at all. We do actually want the players to enjoy that post-match feeling, and I don't think they get carried away for too long. The weekends that you have after a win are always much better than the ones after a loss. So the feeling is very much there. You know, you enjoy your life a bit more. You enjoy everything you do on the Sunday. You know, when you lose, it's all a disaster, trust me. And I'm sure everybody connected with the football club knows that. So It's fine. I think by the time the lads come back in on the Monday morning, they know that we're going to do the post-match assessment. And what we do is try and be very, very objective with it, regardless of the result. And a lot of the things that we did at the weekend, we need to improve upon, I think, because it was a really good result. And I think the performance in parts was really good. But there was definitely areas that I thought, particularly at the start of the second half, we looked a bit exposed and probably got slightly lucky that Oxford didn't take the lead. So really, really happy with the result, as everyone could see. But we've got to make sure that we keep stepping on ourselves in terms of performance.
And the atmosphere as well seemed to go up another level on Saturday. We spoke about the importance of the fans, but I think it really showed, didn't it, during added time?
Yeah, I mean, it was one of those things that I've seen doing the rounds on social media this week. And to be honest, it's quite strange because it's sometimes hard for me to notice when I'm in the moment because I'm so focused on the game. But that was one of the rare times, I think, this season where that wall of noise, I think, that was rightly described for the last 3 or 4 minutes just made a huge difference. And I think it just pulled us through it. We were really comfortable, I think, for the last 4 or 5 minutes, defended really well. I think we kept the ball in the corner a couple of times, and you know, it got louder and louder and louder, and that was really, really pleasing. I think certainly there's been a few times at Fratton Park where the atmosphere's been right up there, but I think that probably tops it during my 14 months here.
Christian Sadie, first league goal, obviously very happy. He was described as the happiest man in Portsmouth after that. How happy are you for him?
Really ecstatic, I think, because he deserved it, and he's deserved to score league goals before that, and obviously the ball hasn't hit the back of the net for him for various reasons. But I think the most important thing for me was the way that he's bounced back from a bit of adversity over the last couple of months. I think he's had a really decent 6 to 7 months at the football club. At the start of the season, he made plenty of contributions, plenty of starts, probably found himself a couple of times really unlucky to come out the side. The one that really sticks out in my mind was after I think we played Shrewsbury, and then we went into after we played Northampton, he played really well. He was part of a 3-0 win. He played at Burton midweek and we'd won 2-0, and he found himself out of the side against Bolton on the Tuesday night. So I think Christian has had a real impact whenever he's come on, and through that adversity he's trained really well. That was the reason we brought him on at the weekend, because we saw how sharp he's been over the last couple of weeks, including the build up to the Charlton game where he didn't get a minute, but he kept his head down, he kept training well last week. And so that was all of these factors, I think, adding to the reason why everybody's so pleased for him. You can see the players' reaction as well, because he's such a popular player in the dressing room that they're just all absolutely thrilled for him.
We've been talking over the past few weeks, possibly longer, about the attacking headaches and how it's quite a good position to be in, you know, to have all these attacking options at your disposal. Have you now got another one?
I think so, yeah. And that's what we want. We always want those issues when we're looking at team selection, and when a player comes on and does as well as he's done. I think, obviously, you have to stand up and take notice. There is a massive amount of competition. If you look at the spots, obviously Colby and Cassini vying for a place as a number nine, the three spots in behind that. We've got wingers that aren't making squads at the moment. Paddy and Abu have really been, I think, revelations this season in terms of goals and assists. And Callum's come in and within 5 games, I think he scored 4 goals. So, yeah, definite headaches going into the weekend.
A new signing since we last caught up, Lee Evans, a midfielder. What's he going to bring to the side, and how can we see him potentially fit in this promotion push?
I just think he brings a huge amount of experience in the middle of the park, and it's an area that we're slightly short now that we lost Tom Lowry, Joe Morrell and Alex Robertson and Tino as well. So one of those things that I think was, having picked up the Tom Lowry injury, we looked at the free transfer market, and you know, Lee Evans was the standout name, let alone in that position, he was just a standout name. He was promoted out of this league last year. He's got a huge amount of championship experience. He's been promoted more than just last year as well. So he's got other promotions on his CV. And I think, yeah, a fantastic player and one that's going to fit really well into our system.
Fitness-wise, where are we at the moment on his journey to, you know, pulling on a Portsmouth shirt in front of the fans?
He's trained this week and he's trained really well. He's off the back of a 5-month injury. So this weekend is probably a step too far, but we should expect him probably to be available for the Peterborough game.
And congratulations as well, Manager of the Month award for February. How does it feel to receive that trophy?
Yeah, I think it's a really nice feeling, obviously, to get the accolade. And I think it's just a really good reflection of everybody's hard work at the football club, the staff, all of the players, the success that they've had over the past sort of 6 weeks and obviously the month of February. So I'm really, really pleased, I think, for everybody involved. It's a bit of a strange one at this stage of the season, because ultimately our eyes on a very, very different prize. So I think, yeah, a nice one just to store away, move on and then try and win the next game.
When you say store away, do you mean literally, or is that going out on display anywhere around the house?
No, we'll have it out, and we'll have it out on the top of the piano at home, and yeah, that's the place for it at the minute.
Zach Swanson, how much closer is he to a return?
Zach trained fully today. He had modified sessions on Monday and Tuesday and then full training session today. So we'll be off tomorrow. He will be in with the full training session again Friday. And I think barring any more setbacks or any knocks, he'll be available for the weekend.
And in terms of the other players close to a return, are we likely to see anything imminent?
I guess it depends how you define imminent. I think we're looking with Tino for him to come and train with us after the Peterborough game once he's had a couple of full training sessions with Chelsea next week. And I think that international break should see a return to training for, absolutely not the international break, that potential international window with the potential return for Ben Stevenson and Tom Lowry to training as well.
So any new injuries off the back of last weekend going forward?
No, nothing new going forward, so I'm clean bill of health.
Blackpool is obviously a tough game at home. What are you expecting from this weekend's trip to Bloomfield Road?
Yeah, you know, we've seen what Blackpool are like. I think when they're at their best, and they've picked up some really good results this season, particularly at Bloomfield Road. They beat Bolton there a couple of weeks ago. They followed that up with a decent win at the weekend. So that aside, that you know, littered with a lot of talent, they're managed by someone who's very, very experienced at this level. He knows exactly what he's doing, so we expect a really decent game of football and a tough test up there.
Yeah, that there was John Massino speaking earlier in the week ahead of tomorrow's trip to Bloomfield Road for Pompey. Tough game awaits for the Blues against the Seasiders. 10 big games remain between now and the end of the campaign, then for John Massino's side to try and get themselves up into the Championship. Looking pretty good at the moment. 76 points on the board, 30 still to play for, and of course they still have that relatively comfortable cushion at the top of League One. Let's get some reaction from social media then. Jamie over on Facebook with a score prediction for tomorrow's game, going for a tough but a very nervy, again, a 2-1 victory like last week, says Jamie on Facebook. Steve on the emails has got in touch. Good evening to you, Steve. He's going for a 1-1 draw, but he'll take it, says Steve. He said he'll take it. And one final one here from Marcus again on the emails, going for a narrow 1-0 victory for Pompey against Blackpool tomorrow afternoon. But what do our two studio guests think is going to happen tomorrow up on the Lancashire coast? First and foremost, Kev Stokes, what do you reckon?
Yeah, and I think both teams are creating chances, scoring goals, and I think it'll be a score draw. I'm going to go 2-2.
2-2, score draw. Desmond 2-2.
Says Desmond 2-2, yes.
Thank you very much, Kev. James Wilson, your score prediction, please, if I may.
I was going to go Desmond as well, but because Kev stole my thunder, I'm going to go 1-1. I think they'll score because they're very good going forward, but fancy us as well because we're equally just as good at the other end. So 1-1, Colby Bishop.
If that were the case, James, would it be one of those examples where John Massino said after the Charlton game, it's only a good point if you back it up with a win in the next game, which, of course, is Burton on Tuesday night?
Yeah, exactly that. Any point away at this stage of the season, you'd probably say is a good point. If we can maintain our home form, we're up.
Absolutely. Right, a big thank you to everybody who tuned into the show this evening. Big cheers to Stagecoach Across the South for supporting another fantastic season of the Football Hour. We've still got a long way to go, of course, and a big thank you to our two guests on this evening's edition of the show as well. Kev Stokes, it's been a pleasure to have you as always. Thank you very much for calling in.
It's a pleasure, Jake. Always good to be on here. And best of luck to you and the boys tomorrow.
Thank you very much, Kev. A pleasure to have you. James Wilson as well. Thank you very much for your time tonight. Have a cracking weekend, and I'm sure we'll see you soon.
Yep, see you very soon, mate. Enjoy.
Right, there we go then. Pompey Live is back tomorrow afternoon for Pompey's 37th league game of the season. Blackpool await at Bloomfield Road. Pompey going from coast to coast, the south coast to the Lancashire coast. Can they pick up another 3 points and strengthen their position at the top of League One? Tune in tomorrow afternoon from 2 o'clock to find out.
Here we go.
Pompey Live.
It's back to winning ways for Portsmouth Smith.
Christian Sadie scores!
Ten games remain in the league and a trip to Blackpool awaits Pompey next. Join us for all of the unmissable action tomorrow afternoon from 2.
Every kick, every goal, every game is right here on Express FM, Pompey Live.
With Aquacars.
Well, there we have it then. Another episode of the Football Hour here on Express FM comes to an end. A big thank you once again to everybody who tuned in to this evening's show. Big cheers to both Kev and James Wilson for joining me on tonight's edition of the Football Hour. It's been great to have them, and I'm sure we're going to hear from both of them again between now and the end of the season. Kev will actually be back tomorrow afternoon here on Pompey Live. Kev Stokes will be joining Colin Mosley to cover all of the action at Bloomfield Road, because I am having the weekend off. I'm still going to Blackpool, but I'm going to enjoy it as a fan, because it's been a long time coming. I'm going to go up there and I'm going to have a very, very good time. Hopefully, anyway, hopefully Pompey can deliver the goods and get another win over the line. Pompey Live is, of course, back tomorrow afternoon from 2 p.m. with all of the unmissable action. I'll be back on Monday evening from 6 with two more Pompey fans to review that game tomorrow. And, of course, what we hope to be another win on Sunday for Portsmouth women. Until next time, Blues fans, good night. Steve Randall is up next with School Days.